So, Micah, have you ever watched that show Love After Lockup?
I have, but I haven't watched it as in depth as you, I don't
You
think.
know what's wild to me? It's always funny because you can usually tell in the first about 2, 3 minutes if the relationship is going to work out or not. You can usually tell because, you know, some people that have gone to prison, you know, they really are trying to get their lives better and on track and, you know, being in a healthy relationship, right? So most of the time, these couples meet while the other person is incarcerated via pen pal or dating site or whatever. And a lot of times these people will wait like 2, 3 years to come, like, you know, for them to get out. And I'll be like, oh yeah, this is not gonna end well. Like, it's not gonna end well. And they're like, no, it's gonna be great. It's gonna be great. And then it's funny when you fast forward like a couple episodes later, they're like, I'm just so devastated because I don't know what went wrong. It's not working out. And I'm like, word? Like, I knew it wasn't gonna work out.
Yeah, most of the time it's like them people be naive though. They be thinking it's all good because trust me, it all changes. Like I've never been to jail or anything like that, but I've seen plenty of stuff like that, and I can imagine that, you know, we all been lonely, right? And so it's one thing when you sitting up in there all lonely, like yeah, oh I get to talk to, you know, a girl or whatever, and it's like when you lonely like that. You'd be talking to people that you wouldn't normally talk to. And then when it's time to get out, it's like, shoot, I'm single as mess. Like, I know there's a lot of them dudes be like that. I know there's a lot of dudes be like that.
And I mean, like, the people on there aren't even like ugly or bad looking or nothing, but most of the time you can tell it's like, oh yeah, this one is just trying to con the other person for to put money on their books or to help. And so, like, I always feel bad for those situations, but it's always like, word? Like, you didn't see that this was gonna work out. And the family always tries to tell them. Family's like, yeah, we don't like this. We don't approve of this. Like, we don't think this is a good idea. And they're like, nah, you don't know what you're talking about. And then, like, 2, 3 episodes later, they'd be like, I'm just so sad because it doesn't work out anymore. Like, it's funny to me.
Listen, you don't understand. You don't understand real love after jail. You don't understand. And then all of a sudden it's like, be dumpy. Yeah. It'd be happening all the time in the real world. And we'll end with this, but have you ever had that happen? So I'm gonna divulge a little bit of personal life stuff with you. You used to help like with prison ministry and stuff like that, or jail ministry. Do you ever have anything like that where dudes get out and it's like maybe not necessarily like, oh, they're not gonna stay with that girl, but it's like, oh, they'll be right back in here kind of thing. Like you could tell who's gonna be right back in here.
Oh yeah, there's definitely a few ones you could tell, like, if they were taking it serious. You could also tell the ones that were trying to play the game and work the system just so they could get out on good behavior. And you could tell the ones that were like actually really trying, and then you could tell the ones that were just trying to con people and stuff. So it was wild.
Yeah, there's all types, man. Well, I'm Micah.
And I'm Chris.
And this is the Donut Box Podcast. Well, man, another week, another episode of the Donut Box Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We're back to our free flow episode, man. How you feeling?
You mean our regular schedule of programming?
Why did I say free flow? Man, jeez.
Yeah, you said free. It's okay. It's been a long week. It's been a long week.
We got through episode 150, and so we're on 151. It's still hard to believe we've broken over the 150 threshold. And we're barreling towards season four too, which is just crazy to think about. If you would have told us back when we were starting this thing, you know, fast forward, I don't think I didn't know what to expect. I don't know if you did either, but not that I wasn't expecting to get to 150, but it just still blows my mind that we're here.
For sure, for sure. Well, we are so grateful that we're back on our regularly scheduled programming, and we are going to start off with the old-fashioned donut, which is a story from our past. Now, this particular story, Micah brought it to my attention before we were recording, and I was like, oh yeah, this is a great story. It's often underrated, and a lot of times I kind of forget about it, but every now and then it'll pop up in my head. But yeah, you guys have heard the fact that we have been in youth group, and there were a couple of youth group members we didn't like, and there was one particular kid, and I'll let Micah pick it up from here.
Oh man, there was one particular kid. So he was a doctor's kid, right? So he was the son of a doctor. Not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but some of these doctor's kids are a little pretentious and snooty about it. He let everybody know. Not just that, but he also had a good amount of money, or so that they kind of flaunted and made it seem like. So we already didn't like the kid. On top of it, we spent a lot of time in church, and he was one of the band members of this church. And he kind of, how do I put this? That church was very cliquish, just like high school. And so I guess he was kind of in charge of the preppy clique, or like he was at least a part of it and a big part of it. But he was kind of like that preppy clique that like really caused trouble for everybody else in the youth group kind of thing. So we really didn't like him. We really didn't like him. And so we were always looking for opportunities to, I think even at one point we wrote him a note like, yeah, don't come back to this specific class or we'll kick your behind or something. I don't remember. Like there was all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, we put it on his car. We
Yeah,
did.
we always tried to kind of, look out for things like that. And so, one night in particular, we go to youth group, and it was kind of a known thing beforehand of we're gonna have a little worship set, and then afterwards we're gonna do just like school, kind of like a field day thing, except we're gonna do it in the parking lot. And this church had a really big parking lot, and so that's cool and everything. Well, Chris and I, we ran collectively, we ran pieces of the technical equipment like lights, occasionally sound, lyrics for the songs that are on there. But pretty much what would happen is on a night like that, you could either choose to go and participate in all the field activities, or you could kind of, being in the position we were in after worship was done, it's like we can kind of hang out and do whatever we want. And that's when we found this little piece. Chris, I'll let you pick it up from there.
Yeah, so everyone, pretty much everyone was outside, and I think Mike and I made some BS excuse like, oh, we gotta clean up or get all the stuff reset and this and that. And so since he was in the band, this guy Jay was in the band, we were back by the soundboard and we thought he left his phone back there. We saw a cell phone and I don't know why we automatically assumed that it was his. Why did we automatically assume that it was his
You
phone?
know, I don't remember that part. I think it was because maybe there was like a background picture. I feel like there was some sort of context that like maybe there's a background picture. Now, also, let's give some context to this. This was in the day and age where phones didn't have lock passwords or anything like that, right? If you get your hands on somebody's phone, I mean, you're pretty much in it, right? And so I think it was like a background or something, if I remember correct, but I don't really remember.
Yeah, so we pick up his phone and we decide, hey, we think this is Jay's phone. We're like, we're gonna mess with him. We're gonna get him in trouble. We're gonna get him kicked out of the youth group. I know that this sounds really bad and very malicious. So Mike and I, as we normally do, we were kicking around some ideas, and I somehow it started with we should make a whole bunch of mean texts and send them out to different people. And that way they were like, oh yeah, this guy's really a jerk. Like we would send him to like the prominent people in the youth group, but like, yeah, this guy's a jerk. Like thinking and brainstorming. And then Micah had the great idea that he was going to take a picture of his as we refer to them, his chesticles, and he's gonna take a
My man
picture
boob.
and he was gonna send it out to a whole bunch of different people in the youth group, making them think that it was a very scandalous picture. So I'll let you tell the rest.
We were kind of trying to make it out, and especially at the time, he was dating this other girl that was like a part of the youth group and everything. And so, being as locked down as we were, so anything like kind of promiscuous in nature was like incredibly frowned upon. Like even if you're like flirting with ladies, like that's incredibly frowned upon. And so we were like, you know what? We're gonna make it out like he got this picture and now he's spreading it around or something like that, right? And so we were trying to make it out like that. So I took a picture of my chesticle there. And I mean, we shotgunned it out there and we sent it to a bunch of people, a bunch of people we knew, a bunch of people we did not know. And I don't remember exactly what the message said, but it was just like, hey, baby, I just want to let you know that I enjoyed the time we had last night and I'll always carry this picture with me or something like that. And we end up sending it to this whole, to the whole entire youth group. And so pretty much it goes out there, right? And just about that time, we come back out of the bathroom and everything. And so we're like, okay, we're going to put the phone back. Just about that time, the assistant youth pastor what do we call him?
George.
George. Yeah. He comes, George comes in there and he's going, hey, so I'm missing my phone. Has anybody seen my phone? And that was the first time that we go, oh, shoot, maybe it's his phone. And then we start looking at some other context clues about the phone and realize, oh, shoot, it's his phone. And now George was a really nice guy. Like, there was nothing wrong with him. Really good youth leader and everything. And so I remember so fast, I deleted the text. Chris distracted him. I think he, like, talked to him and was like, hey, like, we're going to go look over here. And I deleted all the text, deleted everything, deleted the picture, and walked back to the sound booth and, like, put it inconspicuously over there and waited a minute and was like, hey, guys, is this it over here? And it's like, yeah, it is. And, bro, I'll be honest with you. After that happened, I was pretty nervous that something was going to happen to him. I mean, hindsight 2020, right? They could probably tell, like, hey, it's some man boob or something, and, like, it's somebody playing a joke. But at the same time, like, I thought that was going to come back somehow, or, like, there was going to be an investigation, or, like, the very next youth group, there was going to be a, hey, so somebody sent out all these, you know, disgusting pictures on George's phone. Like, I thought there was going to be something, but I didn't hear anything after that. Did you?
No, I didn't hear anything. And, again, like you said, I think how we found out that it wasn't, Jay's phone was that we were, like, going through the contacts, and then we found his name in the contacts, and we're like, oh.
That's right. That was, like, the first clue. It's like, wait, why would he have his own number under his own name in here? Wait a second. This might not be it. And I think it was right around that time. That's when George was like, hey, has anybody seen my phone?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man.
Did you send it to Pastor Tim, though?
Yes. Yes,
oh,
I did. So,
I wonder if he got a talking to, maybe. I don't know. Maybe by the grace of the God, that text didn't go through.
Maybe so. Maybe it didn't go through. But at the same time, I'm wondering if, because not that he made it a pretty big deal, but, like, a lot of people saw him looking for his phone. And so I'm curious if it was, like, they kind of put two and two together of, okay, my phone went missing. Then this text goes out. Like, it wasn't really him. And so they just never really had any evidence of who it was. So they just never pressed it, maybe.
It was an ingenious plan, though. It really and truly, it really was. Because we were like, yeah, we're going to get this guy. And then I just remember, Michael was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to take this into the bathroom. It's like, no, prop it up.
Yeah, where I got that idea from? Like, so I don't know if you know this, but I watch this show now and I'm just like, man, it's such a bad thing. But it was actually King of Queens was where I got the idea from, because they had an episode where they were at a wedding and, like, the main character, Doug, was, like, incredibly bored, and they had all these disposable cameras on the tables, so he went to the bathroom and, like, took a picture of, you know, his private parts, and so when the film got developed, everybody assumed it was somebody else, pretty much, like, trying to sabotage the thing, and I don't know why, like, I definitely didn't want to take a picture of my junk and send it around, so it was like, okay, the next best thing is my chesticle there. And it's like, literally, that's where that came from. But yeah, it's wild. I'm glad nothing came about that. I'm glad he didn't get in trouble. Cause again, he was a pretty good guy. I hope he didn't get in trouble for that. But at the same time, hey, I wasn't going to say a word to nobody. Like, the rule is, it's prison rules. Deny. Even if they got video evidence, just don't say nothing.
That was a great story. I love telling that story. It's a funny one for sure. Well, I'm ready to move into the next segment. And what's the next segment we got, Micah?
It's the jelly donut. Man, we haven't done a jail report in so long, and I actually have one this week. Like, we'd normally change, I know, right? We normally change this segment to several things. We've done a whole bunch of stuff with it. But you know what? We're going back to the old school with the jelly donut with the jail report. So, Chris, you're ready for the first story? And I made sure all these were really funny. I knew that it makes sense that something like this would happen. I'm going to tell you the stories, and then I definitely want your opinion on this. So this one was dubbed the Pants Down Bandit, and this was in Alabama. So there was a man who was arrested for stealing a car When police caught up with him, he jumped out of the vehicle and a chase ensued. And so what he was known for is while he was running with police or running from police, he tripped and fell because his pants were falling down. And so that's how police caught him, was because he tripped on his pants as they were falling down. And so he was arrested for attempted robbery and evading police.
That's funny. That's funny for sure. I know a lot of videos when they show it, it's like the guy's running away is always holding his pants up.
Yeah, he's always holding his pants up. And like for me, I don't know. Like I'm imagining Alabama and particular styles, and I'm just like imagining these like sagging skinny jeans, and it's just like, oh shoot. It's like halfway, it's like it make him tripping. But all right, so this one's from Florida. You gotta love Florida. Shout out to Florida for all your fun Florida man stories.
And we are praying for Florida because of the hurricane, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we're praying for Florida because of the hurricane. Yeah, because of the hurricane. And so shout out to all of our folks in Florida if you're listening. But this man was arrested for a naked bike ride that went wrong. So there was an annual bike ride that went through a park, and a participant was arrested for public indecency because he was riding the bike naked. And so when he was arrested and cops were questioning him, he stated that he was doing this because he was trying to raise awareness for cycling and thought that clothes would distract from the cause and bring more awareness. And so, of course, he was arrested for indecent exposure. But so he rode in this like public bike event naked because he wanted to spread advocacy for riding bikes, apparently.
Yeah, that's not the way to do that, especially in a park, man, with kids around. You can't be doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Especially because it seemed like it was a pretty large event there. Okay. Now, this is the most like Washington, Idaho border thing I've ever heard. Apparently, this happened on the Washington, Idaho border. A group of teenagers were caught trying to steal a bag of potatoes from a local farm. So, here's where I think this is. I don't know how common this is, because of course I'm not from that area, but I know there's a lot of potato farming that goes on up there. What I find kind of wild about this story, so a group of teenagers, are caught stealing this. So when questioned, they insisted that they were planning a French fry party. So literally they were stealing potatoes so that they can slice them up and make French fries out of them. So the cops were actually looking to just give them a citation and send them on their way, but the farmer insisted that they be arrested and press charges. So they were arrested and end up receiving community service from the deal. Mainly the story there was, I thought that was kind of like, don't get me wrong, stealing is never good, but stealing a few potatoes out of a field is not something that I feel like the guy should have been like, no, take him to jail for. But again, don't know the full context. What are your thoughts?
In his defense, though, maybe he's had a problem with people stealing potatoes before, and that's been like a big epidemic, in his field.
Well, and that's what I'm thinking too. That's why it's like don't know the full context of it. And again, it might be a Washington, Idaho border thing to where it's like people steal potatoes all the time, and this is the thing. I don't know. And then I know this makes me sound old, but is French fry party, quote unquote, is that key code words for something? Because I don't know if you've ever heard this, but people use potatoes to make like drug pipes out of them and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, you can use potatoes for a whole bunch of different
So
stuff.
it's like, I don't know if maybe French fry party was a different, I had no clue. But anyways, so they end up getting arrested for stealing a bunch of potatoes. So again, that's like the most Washington, Idaho thing I've ever heard in my life. The next one, this happened in Florida as well. Shout out to Florida. Man was arrested for public intoxication after he started a dance party in the middle of the intersection, naturally causing a bunch of traffic and all sorts of stuff. He refused to move out of the intersection, and even when cops came onto the scene, he claimed that he was just trying to spread joy and offered them to have a dance off. When they said no, he still refused, so they promptly took him down, and he was arrested for public intoxication.
That sounds like that homeless lady's brother that we used to see at the bridge. Whenever she would be dancing, it's like, yeah, she on drugs.
Yeah, it's like doing the Michael Jordan move. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so the next one here. We've heard something a little bit about this or something similar to this in the past from the jail report, but this actually happened in North Carolina. There was a fake, good grief, a fake bank robbery that happened. So a man dressed as a bank robber, complete with mask, toy gun, and everything, went to the bank with his friends as a prank, ended up getting the cops called on him and getting arrested, naturally. And his defense was it was just a joke. But he was
Yeah, you
arrested
can't
for
be
attempted
pulling that. You
robbery.
can't be like, "Oh, oops, sorry, it was a joke." That's like if you like shoot someone and they still live. It's like, "Oh, sorry, it was just a joke."
Or like even or like you're shooting at somebody, like you're in the street, like discharging your weapon at somebody, and it's like, oh, it's just a joke. I really wasn't trying to shoot at you. I was just trying to make you scared. It's like that's still you still go to
I
jail.
wonder if that's what Deputy Porker said when his weapon discharged in the
Yeah, right.
apartments.
It's like, oh, it's just it's just an accident. I don't know. But yeah, he was arrested for attempted robbery, and he's still trying to claim his innocence from jail. But it's just one of those things of like, dude, you can't do stuff like that. Like, just like saying bomb at the airport, you can't quite do that, right? You should know better than that. So this one, man, shout out to Christopher's home state of Georgia, or at least if he claims that. I don't know if he does anymore. Home state's
I don't
Texas.
claim that, boy. Quit lying. You lived there almost just as long. You can't be like, "Oh yeah, Christopher's home state, boy. You lived there for a hot minute. Don't even lie."
This ain't what fries my donuts, but we're gonna get Christopher fried up over here about that. Nah, so this happened over in the state of Georgia. So a woman was arrested for attempting to free squirrels from a local park by setting traps and cages for them. This is what I don't understand. How is she saving, like attempting to free squirrels from a local park by setting traps and cages? So what is she freeing them from? The park?
Isn't that their natural home and habitat?
That's what I'm saying. So apparently she had quite the few run-ins with police, three, four times, because she was dubbed as the squirrel savior because she insisted that she was the squirrel savior, like Jesus, and claiming that they had told her that they needed help. And so she was fined four times before they finally detained her for trespassing. So it sounded like there was a repeat offense where she kept cage trapping these squirrels, and I don't know what she was doing with them, setting them free somewhere else or what, but the park kept telling her like, "Hey, don't do this," and then they kept like fining her, and the fines didn't do anything, so finally they just arrested her.
Oh yeah, that lady's a couple fries short of a Happy Meal for sure. Or she's on drugs.
Or she's on drugs, and I mean, it makes sense if the squirrels are telling you they need help, that might be the first sign. All right, last one. This one happened in Tennessee, and I bet you can guess in Tennessee where this happened. Just by what I'm about to say. So a group of friends that were just that threw a bachelorette party for one of their friends, went overboard with glitter. Apparently the bride was really big on glitter. Somehow they ended up covering an entire street in glitter, like the buildings, the street, like I don't know how they did it, glitter bomb, something like that. But it was apparently so bad to the point where it caused traffic delays. They had to block off traffic, and they had to get a cleaning crew out there, which cost the city $10,000 to clean up all this glitter. So when the police arrived, they found the friends all, laughing uncontrollably and having a good old time. So they arrested them all, and they charged them for disorderly conduct and fined each of them $5,000 for the cleanup.
Good, good. They need to let Megan, Ashley, Peyton, and all of them know, like, you can't just get away
And
with whatever you want.
Caden, I bet you can guess in Tennessee where this was at. Where's all the bachelorette parties be happening in Tennessee? Yeah, exactly. Like, can you? I couldn't imagine like a glitter bomb shutting down a street. Like how? Like that's insane. That's insane, man. I don't even know. I don't know.
Where'd they even get that much glitter? That's what I want to
I
know.
I wish that I could show the viewers because there's pictures, right? In the pictures of the street, like it's all over the building, like it's all in the street, like it's incredible how much glitter it is. It's not like a small amount, and it's I mean, think about it, $10,000 worth of a cleanup. It's quite the cleanup there. So, yeah, man, that was our jelly donut. Gotta love the jail report. There's some interesting ones in there.
Hey, I'm glad we got back to the regularly scheduled programming, man. We ain't done the jail report in a
Yeah,
hot minute.
man. Well, it's funny, we did so much jail report in the beginning. I feel like I wouldn't say we used a lot of the funny stories, but there was a lot of funny stories that when I look in the jail report, or look around, it's like, nah, we've done that one. Ah, we've done that one. Ah, we've done that one. And so what's nice is we've kind of given it a break to where now there's a lot of people doing some stupid crimes, and now we've got some fresh stories to work with.
Yeah, gotta get some fresh material. That's what it is.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But hey, man, I'm ready to move into this next segment if you are.
Which is the donut hole.
This next one here, I'm using this one to shamelessly plug our aviation channel, which is the Aviator Society. And so something that's been going on with the Aviator Society, if you're interested in this sort of thing, every single day on the Aviator Society story, we do a live plane track that you can go track this flight. And typically we try to make it to where it's 8 hours or more long. So, you know, a lot of this is for what I personally do is while I'm at work, or, you know, even sometimes I'll do overnight flights, things like that. To me, I find it very interesting to watch planes take off and 8 hours later be halfway around the world or something like that, right? So if you're interested in that sort of thing, it's a daily deal over there at the Aviator Society over on Instagram. So go take a look. But here in the meantime, we're going to do a quiz for Mr. Christopher here. And, you know, we've done this quiz once before. He did pretty good, but we're going to step it up a notch. How well do you think you know airport codes, man?
Not that good.
Well, you did really good last time, if I remember, but I kicked it up a notch to where it's a little less straightforward. So let's see how you do, man. You ready for the first question?
Sure, let's go.
All right. So, question number one, what is the airport code for Houston George Bush Intercontinental Airport? So is it A, HOU, B, IAH, C, DFW, or D, SAT?
It's IAH.
Yes, it is IAH. You know, I was trying to trip you up with HOU. There is another airport in Houston Hobby.
Yeah, there is another airport that has in Houston that has the HOU.
So you've flown into IAH before, maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
Never actually been in IAH fully. I've ran through it trying to make my connecting flight, both going and, returning.
That is one airport I'm not a fan of, actually, at all. All right, next question. You probably know this one as well. Which airport is represented by the code MCO? Is it A, Miami, B, Orlando, C, Minneapolis, or D, Mobile?
It's Orlando.
It is Orlando. Now, I've never understood why it's MCO. The only part that makes sense there is at the end. I don't know.
The municipal city of Orlando.
Sure. We can go with that, I guess. Who knows? Who knows? All right. So the next one. What is the airport code for Portland, Oregon? Is it A, PDX, B, C, or no, SEA, C, SFO, or D, SAN?
A.
Yeah, PDX. You are correct. All right. So yeah, you've gotten them all right so far. All right. Next question. What airport code is for Anchorage, Alaska? Is it A, PSP, C, JNU, B, FAI, or D, ANC?
Let's go with C.
And that was FAI? That is incorrect. It's actually ANC for Anchorage.
Oh, okay.
But all right, next one. What is the airport code for San Jose, California? Is it SJC, OAK, SFO, or SMF?
A.
Yeah, SJC, you're right. Which is, you know, what's great about a lot of airport codes is they're pretty straightforward, except for, you know, some really weird ones. And speaking of weird ones, not necessarily that this one's a weird one, but there's a few airports in the DC area. But which airport code is designated by the code DCA? Is it A, Baltimore Washington International Airport? Is it B, Reagan National Airport? C, Washington Dulles International Airport? Or D, Charlotte Douglas International Airport?
Ooh, I want to say Charlotte Douglas. No, it's in Washington. C?
Very close. So it's actually Washington Reagan International Airport.
Oh, okay, Reagan. I knew it was one of the Washington
Yeah,
ones.
it's the big two that are in the Washington DC area are Washington Dulles and then Washington Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan's one that I've always wanted to fly into because apparently you fly right next to the mall, like all the big, you know, white. I don't think it's the White House that you get to fly over. Like, it's not fly over, but you get to see it. But I think it's like the Washington Monument, a lot of the other things that you get to fly into and see it. when you fly into there. But all right, so next one. What is the airport code for Salt Lake City? Is it A, STL, B, SLC, C, SEA, or D, DEN?
B.
That's correct. It is SLC for Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City.
All right. Which airport is represented by the code BOS? Is it A, Baltimore, B, Boston, C, Buffalo, or D, Brady International, which is in Connecticut?
Boston.
Boston. Your cousin from Boston.
From Boston. I was thinking the exact same thing. Your cousin from Boston. I love those commercials. I wish they would do more of them.
Yeah, those are pretty good. All right. Just got a couple left here. What is the airport code for, we just talked about it, the Bachelorette City, Nashville, Tennessee? Is it A, BNA, B, MEM, C, MCI, or D, CVG? This one is not as straightforward.
C.
That is incorrect. It's actually A, BNA. I don't know why Nashville, Tennessee is BNA, but there you go.
I have a few guesses, but I can't say them on the podcast.
Yeah, I think I have some of those thoughts in my mind, too. All right, so number 10 and the very last one. Which airport code corresponds to the airport in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania? Is it A, PIT, C, BWI, BWI, C, CLT, or D, PHL?
PHL.
Yeah, Philadelphia. So yeah, you did pretty good, man. You only got a couple off, but it was those pesky ones that aren't really straightforward. So you know what else is real pesky, I'm sure? Whatever you're going to talk to us about, and what fries my donuts. So, Christopher, what's got you upset? What's frying your donuts? What you got to talk to us about today?
Yes, and I will make mine very, very simple. I think mine is wishy-washy people. And what I mean by that is let your yes be yes and your no be no. I don't like people who are like, oh, yeah, like, I want to help out with this and that. But then, like, they'll help for a little bit, but then they'll be like, oh, yeah, no. I can't help with this. I really need to make this like a sacred time. And then like 2 weeks later, they'll be like, hey, like I really want to help all the time. Like those people, I think maybe it's the people that are like, they go like all in and they like commit like for the first 2 weeks. And then like a month later, they're like, oh yeah, like, no, I think I overcommitted. And it's like, okay, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. I don't like wishy-washy people who are always changing their mind on things. Like, I understand that, you know, you got to grow and adapt and everything, but if you're just wishy-washy and you're flaky and you don't show up and you're like, hey, yeah, yeah, I'll be there, but you never show up and I can't, like, depend on you, like, I just don't like the flakiness. I don't like flaky people.
No, I completely understand. And I think that, you know, these are the same people that live their life like it's a prepaid phone. You know, they could pick up people and put them back down or pick the items up and put it back down. And especially, I know a lot of what you're talking about, too. You deal with a lot of volunteers that, like, volunteer to do things and stuff like that, which grateful that people do volunteer. But I'm sure it does get quite old when people volunteer and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, I've got this other stuff going on, or I'll, you know, whatever. It's like, one, they probably don't think about some of the things that they have going on. Or two, you know, these same people, they'll flake out and they won't actually tell you like, hey, maybe this wasn't exactly what I thought it was going to be, right? And maybe I should take a step back or whatever. Like, a lot of times they don't have those conversations with you, I feel like. I feel like a lot of times it's like, oh, I'm just going to call in and tell them I'm sick. Or something like that.
Yeah, or it's like, I don't tell you at all, and then I just keep not showing up. And it's like, hey, I would rather you tell me, hey, like, I just really overcommitted than for you to just be like, yeah, 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 I'll be there. And then, like, you just don't show up. And it's kind of like, okay, like, the first couple times I get it. But if you tell me one thing, and then your actions prove another, like, after a period of time, I'm like, yeah, like, sorry.
Fooled me once, shame on you. I totally get you, dude. There's a lot of people out there like that. And what blows my mind is that, you know, there's a lot of people like that even in our work environments too, to where it's like, oh, yeah, I'll send you that email, or, oh, I'll do this to help you out. And then you're constantly having to hound these people, and then you end up having to do it anyways. And it's just like, bro, I wish you would have just told me that you didn't have it. Even after you committed, even after you committed and said, "Hey, I don't necessarily have it," because a lot of times people will procrastinate and say, "Yeah, I've got it," and you trust that they have it, and then the next thing you know, you're having to stuck doing their stuff last minute, which I can't stand doing that stuff.
Yes, that's my biggest thing. It's like, bro, you should have just told me no, or like, yeah, I'll get it. And most of the time that when they tell you, oh yeah, like sorry, I don't have it, it's last minute, so
Right,
then you're
exactly. And then
scrambling, like,
you're like, man,
okay.
even if you don't have it, give me some time to be able to figure some things out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of that common courtesy right now. People just be thinking about themselves. And I don't mean to dive into this too much, but I think the pandemic had a lot to do with that. Everybody, we've talked about that before, but I really think that the pandemic really kind of created a culture of think about myself first. And think about me and my health and everything. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I also feel like there's a balance because now we're leaving out people who are having to coordinate or having to do things, and the communication is just terrible. Or they'll just straight up lie to you about stuff, right? And they just straight up just say like, "Oh yeah, I gotta," and come to find out, they're really just avoiding because, they don't have the energy, they don't have the whatever. Or, there's something else going on, and you're just like, bro, why didn't you just say something about it? Like, you could have just said something and not kept it hidden, and it's fine. It would have worked out.
But that's really all I got about that. I know it's a short one, but yeah, I just don't like flaky or wishy-washy people, 'cause it just, again, it puts me in a bind and then I'm having to do double the work, and so
And
it's
a lot of
just.
times it's not needed. It's not needed. And again, if they would give you some more time, then you can, maybe even get some other people to help you in the interim as well, which is always good. So, well, all right, man, we're just moving right along, and we're moving into our next segment, which is our improv segment or our mystery donut. So, man, we haven't done this in quite a bit. It's the randomizer, and the randomizer is always pretty cool. You never know what's going to come out of it, and so I am going to go ahead and select three things from the randomizer, and we're going to go ahead and act it out here. So I'm thinking about doing a profession, a location, and an action, and we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
All right, so the profession, a coal miner.
A coal miner. Oh, yeah. Miner 49er.
A coal miner at a labor union. Okay, well, that kind of goes together, doesn't it? It kind of goes together. All right, and then action-wise, making toast. Oh, okay. So a miner at a labor union making toast.
Yeah, I want to invite all of you guys here for our second annual Toast Labor Union Breakfast. I got toast for you guys. We're gonna talk a little business, talk a little wages, talk a little benefits, talk a little union, hurrah, hurrah, then we're gonna get on our way.
Here's my thing. Last year we were here, it was pancakes, not toast. What are we doing? We're going downhill here. We're going less.
Well, Jimmy Barone, if you guys would pay your union dues, we would actually be able to afford some freaking flapjacks instead of this little toast here. I'm working here. I'm trying to work with what I got here. The fact that you guys only pay $5 a person and I have a shoestring budget and I'm trying to make it work for you guys. You guys should be grateful. I should hear some appreciation in your tone. It's like I'm a freaking genie over here and I'm trying to grant you three wishes. You got your wishes right here. You got some breakfast, don't you?
I don't know what you're smoking, but I'll tell you this much. We're not paying these little union dues. You keep upping it every single year, and then everything keeps going down every year. Like, all of a sudden, we got toast instead of pancakes. Listen, you didn't even bring the good girls in here this year. They were supposed to be the entertainment. And listen, all we could get was Ginny from down the block. That's all we could do. Come on. Do you really want us to be a part of this union? Because I don't think you do. At this point, it seems like you just kind of slacking, to be honest with you.
You listen here, Jimmy Barone. I think there should be some gratitude in your voice here. If you lack the gratitude, my cousin Tony from Waste Management could make there be a little accident in your coal mine next week. And you and your kids will not be having a very holly jolly Christmas now, will you? Santa Claus don't come visit the coal mine in the funeral home.
Wait a second. Tony Sanferini? That's your cousin?
Yeah, he's my cousin. What about it? You want to make something of it? You want to fight about it?
No, that's my cousin too. Hey, listen. Listen, don't call Tony. You know what? In fact, call Tony down here. He's got that big smoker. We can get that down here, and we can have ourselves a really good party. Screw this toast stuff, right? He makes this corned beef hash with the mozzarella that you would just, oh, just to die for.
Well, speaking of my cousin Tony, do you know my cousin Vinny?
Oh, the lawyer?
Yeah, he's some two-time accident lawyer, but he's currently down in Alabama working on a case to get this guy where they were framed, getting him off. It's a murder charge. But I think he can get them off.
You think he can get them off? Listen, it's backwards down there. Don't you know? They're eating grits down there and everything. I don't even know what that is. I didn't know what that was till 2 days ago.
Speaking of backwards, you want to talk about backwards? You want to talk about how this union is not wanting to pay for our full coverage health insurance? What kind of union is this?
You're the freaking lead for this. I don't know why you're talking to me about why this is a problem. I pay my dues, we all pay our dues, and then all of a sudden, it's like, I don't understand why this union doesn't do this, doesn't do that. That's up to you, isn't it? That's not our problem, that's you.
I was being a little cheeky before because I didn't realize that we were basically family, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. The union president has been pocketing some of the money so he can put it into his laundry business, if you know what I mean.
So he's been palming it. Okay, he's been palming it. His hands were a little dirty, and we had to clean it for him. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, well, the good thing is we at least got this French toast here, so when life gives you lemons, you gotta at least make lemonade.
Yeah, you stupid Gabon. I guess I'll eat your freaking toast.
And that was our improv segment. I always love how a lot of the times when we have these scenarios, we end up fighting with each other. I don't know why.
Yeah, like, we do. I don't know what it is. Well, and the other thing, too, is it's like, I love how we said union and it was automatically New Yorkers. I don't think there's actually, maybe I'm wrong, I don't think New York is the place for coal mining. I think it's like West Virginia.
Or Pennsylvania.
Or Pennsylvania. So it's a little different than... But at the same time, I don't know. It's always fun. Like, we say union, it's just like New York comes out. I don't know why.
Maybe their headquarters was in New York. Maybe that's what it is.
We'll say that. We'll go with that. All right, man. Well, we'll move into our next segment, which is our Eclair segment, which is our positive advice for the week. And I really don't remember who went first the last time, so I'll go ahead and go. Man, it's been quite the transition for me. And no, I'm not becoming a woman. I know that you have to clarify that day, this day and age, but not that kind of transition. No, it's, you know, just personal life stuff where you're just kind of moving from one season to the other. And I'll say this, you know, one of the biggest things that I've had to do, especially when you're kind of transitioning, is taking it one day at a time. But bigger than that, bigger than taking it one day at a time, is embracing each day as an opportunity for growth, and not just growth, but connection and networking with people. So you never know who that next person that you're going to meet that might change your life is on a daily basis. It could be anybody, and it could be tomorrow, it could be today. And it's amazing how much difference a day makes on certain things. So, you know, as long as you approach every day as an opportunity to learn and to grow, a lot of those opportunities will present themselves to you. And that's been happening here quite a bit here lately, man. And so I just want to encourage everybody to just take it day by day, just one day at a time. But each day, just take it as that opportunity to potentially network with people, to potentially find growth opportunities wherever you can. And yeah, it'll all work out.
Step by step.
Day by day.
Mine kind of goes along with yours. Mine, along with taking in day by day, find little things to celebrate, because I am the worst at this. I often think, okay, let's move on to the next thing. I really don't stop and celebrate things, especially when you're transitioning in seasons. And again, like Michael said, no, I'm not transitioning to be a woman. You got to clarify nowadays. You got to clarify. But I think just taking times and like, hey, like, this last season, I got a lot done, and I accomplished a lot. And a lot of times for me, I have a tendency to look on everything that I did wrong, but I don't really take a lot of time to think about what I did right. And maybe that's just a personal hang-up or a personal issue, but I think celebrating little wins, finding ways to just enjoy life and to celebrate little moments, big moments, because at the end of the day, when you look back at your life, like you're gonna want to remember those moments that you celebrated, and it helps you to look back on your life and be like, wow, like even though I made some mistakes along the way, I really did live a full life. And so celebrating those little wins, and again, taking it day by day, whether that's getting yourself an ice cream, or I don't know, you're going out to eat, or I don't know, whatever you do to celebrate, like, now don't go overboard, but celebrate those wins and celebrate those good milestones for sure.
Yes, we at the Donut Box Podcast are not advocating for you to be like, yeah, I deserve to go spend all my paycheck on something. It's like, listen, be financially responsible when you're celebrating too. But yeah, no, you got to celebrate your wins for sure. Well, man, it's amazing that I it always blows my mind how quick some of these episodes go, just because I guess probably when you're talking, it goes a lot faster. But hey, we're already at the end of the episode here. And just want to talk to you about, we talked about the Aviator Society, one of our segments today, over on Instagram, which has all of your fun aviation stuff. But you know what? If you want a little bit more than aviation, we also have the Trash Can Network, over on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram. So go like, follow, subscribe, do all the fun internet things that we would like for you to do to help us grow. Speaking of growth, we've been really growing, man, and we're having a bunch of consistent listeners, and we really appreciate that each and every week. It just keeps on growing. Each page keeps growing. I know this doesn't sound like much, but just like Chris said, celebrating small wins. We actually just got over, and this doesn't, again, for YouTube standards, this doesn't sound great, but we have over 300 subscribers now on the YouTube page, which, from where we started to where it goes, I mean, hey, that's pretty darn good. So we're celebrating the work that's been done there and the growth that's been happening. And so, you know, it's really good. Season 4 is coming. We're going to have some big things coming in season 4 here in a few episodes. So be on the lookout for that. But man, we got so much stuff in the works, in the pipeline, all that fun stuff, to where it's a great time to be a fan of Trash Can, and it's a great time to be a fan of the Donut Box Podcast. And no, I'm not cutting a promo, but it kind of sounds like it. So yeah, that's pretty much all I've got. You got anything else to add?
Yeah, I haven't cut a promo on my cousin Steven in a couple weeks, and I think it's about time. Steven, it's time. Steven, if you got my mom's money, you better pay what you owe, homeboy. All right, it's time for the Starship to take us out. I'm Chris.
And I'm Micah.
And this has been the Donut Box Podcast.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you. Let him see what